I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 572. We play Drop Mix like most people play Monopoly.
We just make up the rules.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm alive. I'm breathing. My house is warm. My dogs and cat are alive.
You know, like, those are all good things. That's how you win the game.
That is how you win, is keeping everything alive.
Keep everything alive. Hope, your animals, yourself.
Yeah,
keep it all alive.
All of it.
And you're ahead of the game.
How are you, sister?
You know, I'm doing. You know, the ever, you know, longing adventure to home continues. I still am out of my house. And that's something. We're going to keep it on the positive tip. Because that's how we do.
That is,
but I'm all out of Henny, so that's a problem.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
It's a real problem. Can't fix it till payday. But until then, you have me quite sober on Hawaiian Punch, which is fruit juicy delicious, I will say.
So, I mean.
Yeah. Also, I had a birthday.
Yeah, I know. A magical birthday of a number that we do not say out loud.
That's right. We don't say my numbers out loud because we don't have to talk about numbers. Numbers, age ain't nothing but a number, okay? But even at that, we don't talk about my number because we like to keep it polite.
That's right.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
I need to prepare myself for the God of War game, which they have now said is being released on 420. And I'm trying not to be a juvenile about the release date, but come on, 420, guys, come on. And you saw that Red Dead 2 got its release date.
Yep, and its pushback at the same time.
Look, we've talked about this before. It's okay to push back a game if you're pushing it back into being great.
I agree.
And, the new screens that they showed and the new gameplay stuff that they showed looked fucking fantastic. I'm not that into Red Dead.
I know you're not.
But I might play Red Dead 2. You played Red Dead 2 and I watched you play Red Dead. I mean, you played Red Dead 1 and I watched you play Red Dead 1.
Yep.
And that was a fun episode. And I enjoyed watching you play it.
I enjoyed that game. I enjoyed it immensely, and
I love the story. It just took me way too long to
get
into it, so I didn't.
Red Dead 2. I'm excited for it, but I'm not as hungry for it the way I was hungry for Red Dead, because I didn't play GTA until GTA 4. So
really?
Yeah. No, I had not touched it. I had not touched GTA because at first I kind of thought.
I thought you played 3.
No, I watched a lot of.
Oh.
I watched a lot of boyfriends play 3, but that was still when I was gratuitous violence, killing hookers. Not sure if I liked it. And then one day.
Oh, is that in your face? You're like, liquor will never touch these lips.
Yeah. Oh boy, okay. Boy, did I make a liar out of me. needless to say, though, when I got my PS. 3, and I was like, do I venture to the dark side? Do I see what's going on? And then I did, and I was like, what have I been missing? This.
Right, because we would
this
play.
This has been missing from my life. Like,
you would play online, and you would get me into so much trouble because you would just be shooting cops all the time.
Living the dream, shooting cops. Like, just kidding. I'm just like, just kidding, everybody. I love cops. I wanted to work in the legal system for the longest time. I respect the profession. just want to say that so that I don't get doxxed
or swatted. Fuck the police, but not actually.
Like, I don't really want to get fucked by the police.
Really? Because I mean, that's what you would scream. Like, every time we would start playing online and, like, start to run, like, little missions or things like that, without hesitation, whenever we would roll, like, past the cop car, you'd be like, fuck up! And then shoot them. And my star rating would go up. And then it was only because I'm a really good GTA driver that we'd end up not getting wasted, which would then just make you more boisterous. And so then every cop would become a target. It was like you were trying to make it very difficult for me.
I did. I'm sorry.
And then you'd be like, now I'm going to get all the money. And now, and you just spray into people.
Fuck it.
I'd be like, what are you doing? Get in the car. We got to go.
I just like to shoot things. That's
you do. You do. But then when I would do that to you, we would always get wasted because you can't GTA drive for shit.
No, I cannot. It is just not something I am good at.
You are not the getaway driver.
I'm not. No.
Mm-mm. Nope, that's not your mission in life. Mm-mm.
No.
But yeah, for some reason I thought that you played GTA 3.
No. Nope. Mm. Not at all.
Mm. So I didn't. Well, that's okay. I mean, 4 is really good.
But then RD, you know, Red Dead came out, and like I think that was like the first really big interview appointment that I had at E3. So I was like, I'm all about this. I'm gonna infiltrate the system. Like, I felt so important and so big. Like, no lie, in my mind, like my ego inflated like 18 billion that day. And, like, I couldn't fucking ride the horse to save my life. Like, you guys have heard the story. I have told the story umpteen times on our show. Yep. But I was just like, man, I'm like, this is more my speed. Like, driving horses is a lot easier than driving a car. Like, I can understand the plight of the protagonist a little bit more. I'm not worried that I'm going to get a call from my cousin who wants to go to the strip club or go bowling. Like, I don't have to worry about any of that in the Wild West. I'm just trying not to get bit by a rattlesnake or get tetanus and die. So, like, it seemed like the responsibilities and life management expectation were completely skewed. To my level.
Tetanus will more than likely kill you faster than just visiting a strip club.
But I'm just saying.
Also depends on the strip club, though.
That, like, I was like, all I have to do is, like, get up, find a horse, shoot some dudes, and it wasn't like there was a definitive, like, law. It was martial law out in the West, so I could just shoot whoever. Like, I felt completely free in my element. And I had to be like, oh, there's some authority, better shoot it. Like, I was my own authority. Which, I mean, if I had that mentality in GTA 5, I think I would have probably enjoyed my time there a little bit more. But it was just really funny how I took a different approach because of the time period. So I think, one, with RDR2, like, obviously I think I'll develop that similar mentality. Granted, it is a prequel, I believe, to the first to Revolver, I think. I don't know. Which I'm curious about, obviously. And we'll see how that turns out. And I mean, I'm going to play it, but I'm not like, oh my god, I can't wait. Like, I wake up every morning going, I can't wait for RDR2. Like, I'm not salivating for it. Because it's like a slow cook, okay? Like, Rockstar is pretty much like the Betty Crocker slow cook book. It's like, let's throw in some characters. We'll let them simulate for, like, 12 months. And then, oh, let's work on our setting. I think we have that. Let's do that on low for, like, another 2 hours. We got that. And, like, they're just throwing more and more ingredients into the slow cook. And then in 5 years, we'll have something remotely edible. And people will shit their pants for it. Because there's probably too much cheese. Or, like, maybe there's too much Mexican spice. I don't know. But everyone's going to go crazy for it. They're going to want to put it all over their food. Everyone's going to talk about it like it's the, like, latest craze. And, like, it's going to sweep the nation. But that's kind of what Rockstar do. So I'm just like, I'll wait for it to come out. I don't need to talk about it until then. Because I know what's going to happen. I know. The end.
Okay, well, I mean, as long as you know...
I know. Yeah, that's what's up.
I mean, I don't... yeah.
That's what's up.
I mean, here's the thing. For me, I agree with you. You know, everybody... It seems like everyone that I know in the gaming circles that I'm in, you know, have been extremely excited for Red Dead Redemption 2 for quite a long time. And I do understand part of the reason for it. If you've played Red Dead 1 and completed it, it does have, for me, one of the most interesting and rich stories for a single-player campaign in a game in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Rockstar's not necessarily known for their single-player campaigns being so rich, but I feel like, you know, with the Niko Bellic arc in Grand Theft and then Red Dead, they really started kind of honing that craft. And so I understand the hype and the hope for Red Dead 2 carrying that on. When I saw the updated screens and the announcement on the ship date, I did feel from the community that there was a lot of, oh, it's been pushed back. But again, it's better to push back a game and get it right than release it early and it be wrong. Like, just feel, remember how broken everyone felt that, you know, Andromeda was when it came out, because it was, and it was rushed. It wasn't done. If they had just pushed back the date, they would have been able to get a lot of the things that it took them a couple of months to fix for it to turn out to be an okay game, but not a great Mass Effect game, because it wasn't given the time and the love and the attention that it really should have had. So I'm not against pushing back a release date as long as it is giving the team enough time to fix whatever big things have been identified that need to be worked on, fixed. Because I want a good game. When I pick up that title on release day, I want my socks to be rocked off. It's not necessarily about feeling like I'm getting my money's worth or anything. I just want my socks to be rocked off. I want to be in for a great adventure with characters that I either know because I'm playing a franchise game and coming back to, or, you know, being introduced to somebody that is going to become a favorite character for me because of this adventure that I'm going on. And if you can't give me that on your proposed day one, push your day one back.
Right.
I'm You're fine right. with it. Okay, just make it good. Don't make it half-assed. Because you only get one chance to make a really good impression. And I applaud Rockstar for pushing it back, because if Red Dead 2 came out and it was anything less on day one than what Red Dead 1 was, they'd yeah. never live it down. There's no coming back. Like, look at how much shit Destiny has taken, how much shit Battlefront has taken, you know, for coming out with games that really felt like they weren't complete, they weren't solid, or a big chunk of what would make them great and awesome was held behind a paywall.
Yeah, very like true.
You gotta stop doing that to the consumer, because at some point we're all just gonna be like, fuck all y'all, we're just going to Steam.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Because there's a lot of really great, independent, fun shit over on Steam. So I'm fine with them pushing the date back. Just like the God of War game. Like, we know it was pushed back.
But we also know that shit gonna be good.
But we know that 420 is gonna be lit. Pun intended.
Yep.
I mean, I'm playing it. Like, no joke.
But you are a God of War junkie. You are a ride or die.
Love me some Kratos.
If Kratos had a hoopty with a busted ass seat, with
I'd still be like, would, yo,
right.
scoop me up in your hoopty.
And that spring was going in your butthole, you would still get in that car.
No, I would scooch up a little bit so that it wouldn't go in my butthole, because I don't know. It's but out, I'm just, not
but
an
I'm
in.
Just, but I'm just out, saying that you'd be in. Like, I'm but, getting in that busted hoopy.
Yeah,
I'll my get butt in or not.
I might
ride
sit
or
in
die.
I sit in the back seat. you know.
Right. No, there's no back seat. It's got like a busted tire.
What
type of hoopty I'm talking about.
Look, I can sit on that tire, okay? I just hold on to the front seat as we go over the bumps. Like, I'm not having a spring in my butt, but I'm going to get in that hoopty because I'm going to ride or die for Kratos. Like, if I got to call him an Uber, like, I'll call him an Uber. We can make this happen. I love that character. I think that, you know, Santa Monica Studios had done a really fantastic job with that lore and with that character throughout the games. And that's a really difficult thing to do, especially when you're switching leads on the games, you know, because you had Jaffe and then you had Corey Balrog on those games. Like, it is very easy to lose some of the initial drive and the initial passion and even the initial part of a character when directors switch, because everybody brings their own interpretation of the character and they might not be as close to, you know, your original. And my hat off to Corey and his team, because through his games, Kratos still felt like Kratos.
Right.
And it would be very easy to mess that character up. And they didn't through God of War 1, 2, and 3. You know, Kratos still, you understood why all of the gods had to die.
Yes, yeah. That's
and they true. Kept yep. fucking with him. Okay, and you know, it's not easy when you think about the gods that were left on Olympus after, you know, he took out Ares, who really did completely screw him over.
Yes.
And then as you come to know Kratos' story, spoiler alerts, guys, Kratos is the son of Zeus. So Ares was his brother. So his brother killed his wife and child.
Fucked his Christmas.
Because he believed it would allow him, it would allow Ares to make his brother Kratos an even better warrior for him and more subservient to him. And it backfired because Kratos, you know, kind of liked his wife and his kid.
I mean, he loved him. He loved
so,
that wife.
So he was really,
he loved
like,
that kid.
Pissed that his brother, unbeknownst to him at the time, tricked him into killing them.
Yeah.
And that's why the Oracle made him, you know, have to, as a punishment, wear their ashes on his body. So he would never forget that he killed them.
Right.
So he was like, yeah, the gods ain't shit, so fuck them. And decided to, in fact, take them all out. And then goes on this rampage to do it. So I'm interested in seeing in this new game where it's Kratos much further down the line, you know, after he's taken out Zeus, his father. And so all of the gods of Olympus are gone, in essence, except for Spirit Athena, which I'm not exactly sure how that worked out, but okay. And now he has a child. And so it is a Kratos without that infernal rage. And I'm curious about that Kratos, because I don't know him. I know Zeus.
Right.
Yeah, I know that Kratos.
I like that we're taking a sabbatical from Always Angry, because that's a lot of energy to be expelling all the time.
It's so much.
Like, eventually, like, you just, you've expelled all this energy, and then it's like, you just can't be mad for a while. So, like,
you
obviously.
You like, not be mad for, like, a little bit.
And I mean, evidently, yeah.
He was able to do that for a bit, and, like, get with a lady because he's got a son.
I mean, he got with ladies all the time. I'm sure there aren't other, like, I'm surprised there aren't other little Kratoses everywhere because, you know, let's be real here.
I mean, those mini games, though.
There were
those mini games.
And you know that, like,
but hey, maybe he was a good dude and, you know, used some lamb.
I highly doubt that. He's a hit it and quit it kind of guy.
He's a hit it and kill it kind of guy in the first three games.
So actually, maybe
if you're wondering why there's no little Kratoses running around.
Yeah, maybe he just, you know, ended their lives before they could begin.
I mean, you got to get them green orbs somehow.
That's true. That's very true.
Got to get them orbies. So, but I'm very intrigued by this Kratos because I don't know him. You know, in every other game that's come out, I knew the Kratos I was walking into because you were going after the gods of Olympus. Sometimes you were working with a Titan. Sometimes you were taking on a Titan, Kronos. But you were always going after the gods of Olympus, and those gods are now gone. And this game takes place well down the road. And so I'm interested to see, you know, what that journey in between defeating Zeus and now being a father, what that journey was like for Kratos and what pensive Kratos is kind of like. Like, he's still going to be battling some really big beasts. Like, the demo that you saw at E3 and some of the video gameplay that's been shared between E3 and now shows off some really gorgeous, I really want to get a 4K TV, really gorgeous, mythical, massive creatures that Kratos and his son are going to be interacting with and fighting. So it's not that fighting's gone away. Just like there was a video that I saw that kind of hinted at the residual scars that were left on his arms from the chains of chaos, the blades of chaos that he wielded. And he kind of is covering them up in shame. So I'm like, where the blades at? Why do you got an axe? What's going on? Where are you in the world?
By Steve these days. He's not. I know. His life before.
My name is Michael Steve Eisman, and this is my son, Michael Eisman Jr. And don't look at my arms.
Don't look at those. Don't look at those.
Up here. It's an old story. I don't like to talk about it. It's an old football wound. Anyway, you know, like, I'm curious about this Kratos, so I'm really looking forward to the game. Plus, everything I see about it looks stunning. And, you know, Santa Monica Studios has never let me down when it comes to great adventure games. They just haven't, you know.
Right.
I mean, they work so well with that game company, and you know I have nothing but amazing things to say about the stuff that they've created. So I'm excited for God of War, and I will definitely be playing it some way, somehow, on 420, for sure.
get your Mountain Dew and your Flame Cheetos.
Not so much the Flame Cheetos, because I'm not that basic, but...
You should have some Flamin' Cheetos nearby for ambiance. You don't have
to. I mean, but then I'd want to eat them. And then I would remember that I don't like.
You're an adult.
Look, I can do whatever I want. I just had a birthday. I'm older.
I know.
I'm supposed to be wiser. I'm not. But the other thing I wanted to share, and I'm going to let you talk, because I've been talking.
It's all right.
But I've been watching this anime, and I really want you to watch it.
Okay.
And I really think that anyone who, similar to me, enjoyed Log Horizon...
I didn't watch Log Horizon, so...
Or Log Horizon's good. Or Sword Art Online. The concept of the anime that I'm going to talk about is similar, but it is much more rich with its characters, like Log Horizon. So I am talking about an anime called Death March to the Parallel World Rhapsody. Okay. Now, the thing about this anime was the reason that I even turned it on, and this is on Crunchyroll, by the way, guys, so you can watch it on your Funnyroll, Crunchyroll. I don't think it's on the Funimation-only side. But I specifically started watching it because I was like, what the hell is this thing that has this really long name? And the art just didn't seem to match because it looked kind of like a fantasy design.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like such a dark title. So I decided to turn on an episode. And basically it starts in what seems to be like a present day-ish Japan.
Okay.
And so focuses on this guy named Ichiro Suzaki. And Ichiro works as a game developer. And so he is a QA guy and a bug tester at this company who right at the point in time is going through a death march. And basically what a death march is their crunch time, where basically everybody for, you know, weeks on end will work without stop. They have their own little, you know, tatami mats that they keep underneath their desk for when they finally do take a break. People commonly don't shower for days as they're, you know, in crunch to get things done and get their titles that they're working on out, many of them working on two or three titles at a time. So that's why they call it a death march, because there's, like, no light coming into the rooms, people are losing track of days, and you're working yourself basically to death.
Right.
And just as he's about to finish up a two-week run, basically, of work and take a nap under his desk, one of his co-workers sends him a message like, ooh, we found this bug in this mobile game. I told everybody that you could take care of it and have it fixed in 2 weeks. So, yeah, great. Okay. Thank you so much for working on it. Bye. And, like, he looks over at his desk and he's like, ugh, you. And so he jumps into the mobile game and he's like, oh, it's really well designed or whatever. So I'll start working on it. Begins to work on it. Finds the bug. Fixes the storage bug. Then takes his nap. When he wakes up from his nap, however, he's no longer in the present day world. He's in some new world.
Oh.
And he's trying to figure out, like, what's going on. He just thinks that he's just in a deep sleep dream. And he's like, it kind of looks like that game that I was just working on. This is kind of cool. Well, let's see what happens in this dream before I wake up. So he just goes with it and accidentally figures out that this world that he's in is a game world. He's able to bring up a menu and, like, see all these stats and stuff. And he sees that the character, his character in this game, is named Sato. And that's the name that he uses while he's doing all of his QA work. So he's like, okay, this is definitely, like, my real world bleeding into my dreams. Whatever, I'm going to roll with it until I wake up, you know, and get back on this death march. And there's an attack a few cities over. And he's like, oh, well, let me check out some of these powers. And so he has infinite skill points and infinite money, you know, as you do when you're QAing, so that you can test all the stuff, right? And so I really like the details that are in this situation, because it's not like immediately like some other animes where I've watched where I'm like, oh, I've been teleported to this new world. Whatevs, I'll just jump in. Like, he's really curious about, okay, well, I can't log out. And so I looked for that and that's not there, but okay, there are all these skills that I can see in these trees and they're all turned off, but I have infinite skill points, so I can turn on any ones that I want and max them out whenever or lower them. Okay, that's cool. Let me test out some of these and see what they do and what their damage is. And so he tests this meteor magic one that basically decimates this city. He calls upon it and thinks it's just going to be like two or three meteorites that fall from the sky. No, it's basically like nuclear annihilation, and he destroys an entire city and its entire group of people, population, off
Damn.
The map. And he's like, okay, I'm going to turn that off and never use that again because, oh my God. And it comes down so big that he ends up having to run from some of the meteorites itself, and it wakes up a dragon.
Oh!
It wakes up a wraith. And the wraith then starts heading towards this army, and he's like, it's kind of my fault that they're heading over there, so maybe I should, like, step in and do something, but I don't want to make myself too known. So, like, he's going along with this dream, and he's like, man, I don't know when I'm going to wake up, but this was a really good one, and I enjoyed it. But he never wakes up, and he realizes that for whatever reason, he's stuck in this place, in this space, so he's going to make the most of it. And he begins to encounter different characters. And that's at the point that you realize that, oh, it's going to be a harem anime. Because he starts saving a bunch of different girls for different reasons. He is always very noble in how he's going about stuff, which makes him very endearing. Like, the first three people that he rescues are basically people who are called demi-humans. Because they're part human and part animal. Okay. And they're looked down on by all the humans, well, most of all the humans. And so they're turned into slaves almost by birth. And he comes across this woman who ultimately is named Lisa, because she's part lizard, who's been caring for these two child demi-humans. One's a dog and human, and the other one's a cat and human. And so they ultimately get named Pochi and Tama. He's not very clever. But she's trying to shield them because they're older and, like, a bunch of people have gathered them up and they're throwing rocks at them, blaming the demi-humans for the damage that was caused by the heavens, a.k.a. the meteorite shower that he caused. Right. So he's like, I can't let them be stoned because of this thing that I did. So he steps in because it's not right and ends up becoming their new master and taking care of them and finding ways to boost up their stats and get them new titles. It's very rich and it's super cutely drawn, but I like the fact that, you know, you have this hero that, you know, started out as the reluctant hero type of person of like, I don't really want to do this, but I got to figure out the world that I'm in. So I'll figure it out, and just jumps into his role and accepts like, okay, I have all this stuff and I can really help people. So I'm going to help people. And, you know, maybe one of these days I'll figure my way out of here, or I'll wake up and I'll be back in the Death March. Like, either way, it's good because I'm going to be in for an adventure. I just kind of like that attitude.
He's very upbeat about the potential end or not end of what's happening to him.
Right. He's just embracing everything that's coming at him moment for moment, but always doing it, internalizing, making sure that he's doing the right thing and protecting the most people and helping the most people because that's what he wants to do. And in doing so, he's able to get the title of hero because the game grants titles as you go along. So it kind of works like a traditional RPG. He's constantly getting stats and money and items and titles as he goes along. And very early on, he gets a title of God Killer. That comes in handy later on. But he finally, after doing a thing where he basically sacrifices himself in a little bit in a way and also his pride in a way, he earns the title of hero. And he's like, well, I would have liked to got this a little bit earlier, but it's the right way for me to get it. And it's only after when, like, they get out of this dungeon and he starts going on his next Avenger and Pochi, Tama, and Lisa just kind of standing there like, what do we do? And he's like, well, are you coming? And they're like, yes!
Yeah!
And then he turns around and this girl who he also was protecting, who is in the army, the knights that he kind of sort of sicked that Wervin on accidentally, holds him and thanks him for helping them get out of the dungeon, and this other character that appeared out of nowhere, which was him, he gets the title. I'm like, okay, I see what we're doing here. We're being clever and we're also being cute. And those are typically the anime that I enjoy. And I like that they wrap it all around game mechanics. And they're very balanced mechanics that they have in it, similar to some of the RPG games that I've played. So that's why I liken it more to a Log Horizon than a Sword Art. Because Sword Art, for me, wasn't necessarily, like, focused on the game mechanics other than, like, when they would get into, like, life bars.
Okay.
The rest of the game, the rest of the anime, it was very rare that you remembered that these characters were all characters in a game.
Hmm.
You know, like, unless they were in a fight and you had the overlays, they were just adventuring out in the woods. So they were like, oh, you're walking in the woods. We got the house stuff going on. We're going to be a family. Like, which is really cute. And I enjoyed Sword Art. And don't get me wrong. I really, really enjoyed Sword Art. But I enjoyed Log Horizon more because of, for different reasons. And I won't get deep into that, but it just seemed to be less about necessarily getting out and surviving and using your wits in Log Horizon than in Sword Art. And I feel the same way about Rhapsody.
Okay.
I definitely
want to watch this. Like,
you should watch it. I think that you would enjoy it. And I feel like anybody, if you enjoyed Log Horizon, you'll enjoy Death March of the Parallel World Rhapsody.
There's I'm
like
in.
Four episodes now currently on Crunchyroll because it's a new anime this season. Definitely worth a watch.
Okay. Well, I know what I'm going to be doing after this then, for sure.
Well, there you have it. What do you have for the people, Panda?
So, I have a game. Well, I don't know if I want to call it a game yet. All right. I'm just going to jump into it. So, I mean, and I know that you've talked about this a little bit on the show because you and I are
both. I believe I mentioned that I bought it.
Yes, you bought it, and then I was curious about it, but wasn't sure if I would get it, and we ended up getting it for Christmas, and we're both Harmonix fans, like, you from, like, Frequency,
yep.
Me from, like, Amplitude,
yep.
and then pretty much from there on. And I mean, we've seen Harmonix attempt some stuff with the music, blending it into different genres, like Chroma was a thing. Yeah,
Chroma was a really good idea.
Right. Chroma was like, hey, this sounds like a solid investment. And then it wasn't.
Beatports was also a good idea.
So I mean, Harmonix...
There's good ideas.
Yeah, there was some stuff in the pot. The pot was bubbling, potential was brewing, and then a skin formed on the top, and then we weren't sure what to do with Harmonix after that.
this whole picture painting thing that you're doing with the potential bubbling, like, where do these things come from?
My brain.
Okay.
My weird, twisted brain.
All right.
Potential was there. Like, the essence was there. Something could come out. It's kind of like cooking in Zelda. Like, you could put some stuff in a pot, and you see the fire on, and you think something might come out, and then it's just, you know...
Dubious food.
And you're like, I could eat it. I could die. I don't know. Well,
dubious foods doesn't kill you, though.
Right, but, like, it hurts your tummy, and you might have what I've heard on a comedic show called, I think it was Butt Jazz. It's like, I got a bit of that butt jazz, the improv. It was hilarious. I have to find that that comic again, because that was great. Oh, I was like, that's goodness. A great visual. But anyway.
Wow. Okay.
Harmonix sits close and dear to my heart for a lot of reasons. And Ninja then tells me that, you know, Drop Mix was coming out, which sounded like a really cool tabletop experience, which I've been playing more, and I'm putting an asterisk on that because I do play board games, and for a while I was playing them a lot more, but I've slowed down on the board game experiences. But this was a way for Ninja to be like, hey, here's this music game, and it has a card element, and, like, it could be on a table, and I was
it's musical tabletop. This should be right up your alley.
And then my ears perked, and I was like, oh, this seems kind of cool. And she brought it for Thanksgiving at a mutual friend of ours' houses, and her friend's kids and my husband practically spent a good hour just slapping cards on this thing.
Yeah.
And not really playing the game, which kind of left the big question of, how do you play the game?
Right.
And we end up getting it for Christmas, my husband and I, and... You know, we've brought it to several different events, and, like, it's still kind of a hard sell to people, because they, when you tell them, oh, it's Uno, but with music, you know, like, they're like, oh, all right, I kind of get it, and then, you know, like, at our hardcore tabletop games, like, they're just like, I don't find the validity in this, and they're kind of snooty about it, and I think some of them are assholes, but I know none of them listen to my show, so that's fine, yay! so I can say that.
But I can say whatever I want, because I know you're not listening.
I know you're not listening, so it's totally fine. Anyway, like, in a much lighter, more casual atmosphere with some more, dare I say, liberal gamers, maybe, who probably have a stronger appreciation for music, would completely dig it. So, I mean, I've talked about that this is a musical game, but I haven't really explained anything about Drop Mix yet. So, like I said, Drop Mix is the name. It's a music game developed by Harmonix. I believe it was published by Hasbro, so you know it's got a big, chunky, plastic peripheral that you use. You have color-coded areas for cards on this big block of a device. You want to use your, I guess, I think tablets can be used, and Apple stuff can definitely be used.
Yep.
Don't have super old Apple shit, though.
Yeah, nope.
That will not work.
Mm-mm.
So, currently in my household, only my phone works with Drop Mix. My iPad mini that my sister so graciously gave me so many years ago is too old. And it starts it up, but it doesn't, like, allow the iPad to sync to the board at all. But literally, there are several different modes. You can have a competitive mode where you can compete in teams or one-on-one versus. There is a party mode where essentially you are just all DJs on one space bar. Like, that's how I kind of tell people what the experience is like. And then, I mean, generally what me and my husband do with it is we literally just sit with our cards and we just make music at each other. And, like, what goes with what? How does this work? How does that work? And the cars all have different types of elements on them. Like, some of them are bass tracks. Some of them are drums. Some of them are piano. Some of them are vocals. And depending on how you layer them or what part of a song they are, like, you can come up with some pretty interesting mixes. And, I mean, if you're playing the actual game, the guards also have abilities on them so that when you're playing competitively, you can, like, get more turns in a round or be able to drop mix and, like, hurt your opponent. But I don't think it has enough, like, I don't think there's enough modes that really make people invest in what all those symbols and stuff mean on the cards. Because, I mean, I can tell you right now that every experience with drop mix that I have played with my husband and our friends has been strictly party mode, and we've really just been like, or just leaving it open and just making music at each other and seeing what works and what clearly doesn't work. Evanescence, I'm looking at you. Nowhere, and we tried this. Bring back to life? No, there's no part of that song that works with anything else. However, Heartbeat by Childish Gambino can do no wrong on the board. Absolutely no wrong on the board. Oh my God, it is fucking kryptonite. And I mean, I found it really funny because so my husband had it on his Christmas list. And then after Thanksgiving, he's like, I don't know if I really want it. I'm going to take off my Christmas list. And then he didn't. And then his mom bought it. So he's like, oh, I guess we have a drop mix now. And I was like, yeah, I guess we have a drop mix now. And, like, it's open and we engage with it. But, like, you know, if it died in a fire, I don't think he would cry. Granted, I don't think I've ever seen my husband cry. So that's not a good marker for interest. Mm-hmm. But since we've been playing around with it and playing with this music, like, all of a sudden there are Amazon boxes showing up at the house. And he's like, I bought more drop mix. And I'm like, you are now not crazily, but he's just highly more enthused with how to make music work and how intricate piling up elements of songs and stuff can, how intoxicating that can be. And it's absolutely really fun. And I feel like for any kid out there who likes music and likes the idea of mashups but hates the idea of pitch perfect, which there's a bunch of you, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, like, this is a way to get that weird guilty pleasure mix on of a mashup in a really interesting way without having to, you know, watch Glee or watch, you know, the Pitch Perfect movies or watch any of the other horrible movies that are on Netflix that have tried to combine the two of them. And I'm not saying I'm that person. I'm definitely not. Yeah, that was me. And this is a great way to purge those demons. And it has dropped from its initial price point, so you can get it on the fairly inexpensive these days. And I find that a little sad because, like we said at the beginning of this, clearly there was a strong potential here. However, I don't know if I would classify this as a game. I think I would classify this more of an experience and I feel like this could have been done, like, as an app. And, I mean, there is an app portion to this game. And, I mean, the cards do make it far more tangible, but I could totally see this being a very, you know, broken down, watered down experience, and you wouldn't need to bring the physical aspect of it to a table or to a game space. Like, it definitely feels like this could have all been condensed digitally and still had the same amount of fun that, I mean, my husband and I get from physically playing the game. So, I mean, like I said, potential, absolutely. I just don't know if the execution works enough. But hey, we got one. We didn't have to pay for it. And I mean, the card packs are not necessarily brutally hurting our wallets. And I mean, we have come up with some pretty interesting mixes so far that we've enjoyed and fight over, you know, if the it's tricky drum beat needs to go in a mix versus anything from Childish Gambino, which, why is there only one card so far? I want more. Definitely a fun experience, and this is totally something that you could play with a friend or a sister or even by yourself and get something from it. So if this is if you're interested in music and, like, having a good time and, like, making stuff and, I guess, honing in your own style of music, if you're ever going to be a DJ, then this is definitely something that you could look into. And if you don't want to buy it, I'm sure one of your friends might have accidentally gotten it for Christmas, and you could just play it with them.
Might have accidentally got it for Christmas.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's what happened in my life. Whoops. I mean, it could happen. Like, you could go open your back porch and there might be a drop mix waiting for you. Oprah could have put one underneath your chair.
Don't make promises on Lord Oprah's behalf.
No, that's very true. She would never do that. She knows better.
She knows better.
But
I think that's a good point to bring out because the game part of it for drop mix is quite lacking. I think that it's a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they went, okay, but how we make a game out of it? Because the core of drop mix is that you have this board, you know, like you mentioned, that's typically connected to an iOS device that registers the card that you're putting down, the song bit that it can play with the card bit. And so you're constantly mixing different drum beats and bass lines and vocals and sometimes piano fills or guitar fills or synth sections together. And what's really interesting about the game is that no matter what card you put down, it will auto adjust the key and the beats per minute to make sure that everything adjusts and can work together. So it's some very interesting math that's happening there.
So
to always make a mix mixable.
And like I said, like, it's definitely really intriguing. And I mean, I will spend, I think the last time me and my husband did this, like, we literally were like, oh, let's just like do one party round. And like, we did our party round and we were ready to leave. And I'm like, no, I'm still not done. We need to go back into this because I feel like these three cards work really great, but we need to figure out this green card right quick. Hit all the green cards. Let's put them all out. And we're labeling them like we have them all organized right now based on what part of the track they are, what color they are, and then what their amplification part is, like their power, mm-hmm. like their level. And we have them all, like last night we were going through them, and I'm just like, I still don't know. I'm like, I think, let's try Fosters and the People. Let's try this person that we didn't even know. And that's another nuance that I like, is that there are a lot of artists in these drop mix cards that are not mainstream and are not mm-hmm. local, so it does give your ear something brand new to listen to. I also kind of like the art. Like, the art is its own
the own art entity. Is fantastic on these cards.
And I'm like, wow, like, I'm blown away by the imagination of like all the wild cards and all of, because I mean, the artists really all put their foot in it in the best possible way. But I think there's something missing. Like, the competitive element, like, yeah, it's kind of competitive, but, like, I think there's a strong learning curve in understanding exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And, I mean, yeah, they give you the little tutorial thing before the game, but, you know, if you're in a big party atmosphere, not everyone is paying attention to that because, right. You know, the drinks are going, the vibe's already established, and then you're, like, huddled in a corner with maybe four other bros or three other bros. You know, and you're trying to look at these pictures to try to get an idea of, all right, that's a drum, that's a keyboard, that's an effect, that's this. And it's a little too much right off the bat, and you're struggling to get the rhythm of it. But once you get it, like, you're set. So that's great. But, like, there is a, you know, here's this cliff. You want to jump and figure it out? Let's jump and figure it out. Oh, by the way, you all have parachutes. Like, it's like, you don't know it when you jump, but then, like, you're halfway down, and you're like, what's this chord do? And then you're like, oh, okay, it's actually a really safe encounter. You're like, oh, okay. It's like that.
And, yeah, no, it feels to me like drop mix is, again, it's a really great idea multiple ways around. You know, one, like you mentioned, the artwork that's on the card, which is really, really fantastic, and I just like to marvel at the cards of, you know, what the representation of what the song is, because they're each unique, which is cool, and very vibrant. You know, it kind of reminds me, the colors that they use, which are all colors that are in the Harmonix logo, which is also cool, of a more vibrant Uno, right? Because at the core, right. That's what it is, you know, I'm beating your same suit with a higher number, different number suit. And it's just song pieces instead of just numbers and colors, right? And then there's also the discovery of making a mix, right? Because even though you're competing when you're in the play mode, party mode with other people, you're competing for points. At the same time, you're also competing to, like, make something that sounds interesting, right? So you've got two levels of competition that are happening all at the same time. But it does feel to me like, you know, the game was a concept that they worked out. They got the gear working, and they were testing a bunch of things in freestyle, and no one really sat down to really think through the game part to make it an interesting game to play versus just doing what many people, I think, end up doing when they jump on Drop Mix, which is just, we'll just play freestyle and let's make some cool sounding mixes, which has its own value too, but it's not like a game game. Then it's just like, you know, a collaborative jam session with people who are not musicians.
Right.
Which is also cool, but I do think that they're in Drop Mix somewhere is a great game dying to come out. And until right. then, it's just a really cool interactive toy.
It's the girl from She's All That. And she just has to take off her glasses and pull down her hair. And she's beautiful. And she's the blonde from Save the Last Dance who wants to go to Juilliard. I'm making such horrible analogies right now, but you all get what I mean.
The potential is right there.
Kiss me. Freddie Prinze Jr. knew you were beautiful the whole time. And that's why he was willing to make that bet.
Yep.
He knew it. He knew it all along.
He only bets on sure things.
That's right. I got really hyped.
You got real emotional about that. Is there anything you want to talk about?
No.
Show me on the dolly where he hurt you.
I'm good. I'm so good.
Well, speaking of being so good, I'm going to end this episode talking about something that I'm probably not going to stop talking about for, like, years.
It's not Destiny, is it?
No, okay, it's good. Not Destiny. Black Panther is almost here. Okay, I have to revel in just the sheer awesome blackness of this, and then I have a little bit of gripe. So actually, before I do the Black Panther thing, let me do the gripe. So I was reached out to on one of our social channels by a friend of mine who's like, hey, did you see that for Black History Month, Google Play's been doing like this big thing highlighting black girl gamers and black gamers in the industry?
What?
You're in this, right?
No.
And I was like, no? What are you talking about? And she proceeded to send me this link about an interview and an article that Google Play did on this woman who started an organization in London to help black girl gamers organize. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. They've got like 1,500 members now, and it's basically
our invite? Are we not black enough?
I haven't got to the salty part yet. They're in London, so I'm not mad about that. And the community is like 1,500 people strong now, and I'm like, that's awesome. You know, because there's a lot of colorism, you know, in European countries too. And so to have a safe space where you can gather is really important. You know, I did a thing for school where I did a study on communities for female gamers online and what their value is worth and why they could possibly be needed and why they would be valued by, you know, both sexes, not just women, right? Mm-hmm. But where I started to get a little salty was that there was also a piece that was done on Pretty Brown and Nerdy as like one of the OG black female podcasts about video games.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's where I started to get a little salty.
Wait, what? What? Wait, yeah. Wait. Mm-hmm. Wait.
Now, first of all, Pretty Brown and Nerdy is a vidcast. They're on YouTube. So I'm like, okay, so my brain's like, they're on YouTube, Google Play is doing this, so of course they went to their own well of, like, content creators. But, like,
what the fuck?
We've been here since 2006.
The fuck?
Right.
Google.
So my friend was like,
So did you hit an email and be like, hey, just so you know, we were here first. I'm just hearing about this and I'm like level 3 annoyed. Like, I would, if I were sitting at a table with the head, like, well, I would pour some salt in her
and
coffee.
I'm like, yo, nobody even emailed me or like hit me up on the Twitter like, hey, we see that you've had this podcast since 2006 in iTunes, you and your sister, Black Gamers. But I think, and where I started to like pull back my salt a little bit was, you know, we've always touted ourselves as, you know, being a gaming podcast that happens to be run by
two sisters.
Black females and not, right. You know, like, we're down for the cause, Black Gamers.
Black empowerment, woo! Right.
Right.
We're like, we're blurreds, but we're not like blurred lives, which, by
right.
the way,
it's bro. Like, you know, not, hold on. It's oh. not, it's not us, you know, out here like that piece from CB4 going, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blackity black because I'm black, y'all. You know,
we are, though.
We are. It's just we don't scream it every day. I mean, the podcast is Electric Sisterhood.
I mean, I'm currently wearing all black, and I'm in my study that doesn't have a light on, so it's black in here. I don't know how much blacker I can possibly get.
I really don't know how much. I don't.
If I'm out at night and I smile, you can see me.
I was real salty.
I'm sorry. I don't know why you didn't hit them up with an email. I would have emailed.
I was definitely like a Pringles chip and not like a, I mean, like a Ruffles and not a Pringles chip. I'll real salty.
I mean, hand me my death note. I got some names to write.
But again, this is nothing against like, you know, those orgs, because they're great, great orgs. Like, I like watching people around and nerdy stuff sometimes. Like,
I'm not mad at them, but where's my props?
You know, but, like, come on, man.
Like, we're not even trying to collect.
We out here. We've been here since before blurred was a word.
We're not even Christopher Columbusing, because, you know, like, there were people there before. We're the Native Americans in this situation. And someone came up and was like, blurred. It was like, but we've been here since the dawn of time. Yeah. Move over here. Here's some blankets.
It's been like black nerd for like forever. Okay?
Like.
But we were there too. We just were like, there too. So I was like, salty, I'm getting over it now. You don't have to ask us anymore. No, we weren't asked to be involved in Google Play's celebration.
I'm really like,
Black
I'm
History
real,
Month
I'm
by
so
interviewing and talking
right
to black content creators. No, we weren't included. Let's talk about some black excellence as well. That's not just us. Black Panther. Okay, so I am so ready for this movie to come out.
I know, it was hilarious. So I was sitting with a bunch of my friends and my husband. And so my husband's like milk, okay? Like he's like 2% or like whole milk, whichever one. But he from like the Alps. No, I'm just kidding. He's not from the Alps. But he's like very white. And he's like, babe. He's like, Black Panther. It's coming out for like Valentine's Day, right? And I was like, it's like around then. I think it's like the 16th though, yep. Not the 14th, but mm-hmm. like whatever.
Yep.
And he's all, and like I go back to talking, he's like, babe, are we going? I'm like, I'm going. I don't know if you're going. Are you trying to go with me?
Like, I mean, I was already going. You can come.
Right, exactly. And I'm like, nah, I'm dressing up though. Like, I have like my dress picked out and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and he's like, really? I'm like, you need to put on a nice shirt if you're rolling with me, because like you can't be rolling in your messy graphic tee and your jeans that don't fit.
No, this is a formal affair.
Did you see the red flipping carpet for the Black Panther premiere? Because oh my god, fashion like threw up everywhere, and it was massively beautiful and unsettling. And my god, Black Hollywood is so fucking classy.
Black Hollywood is so classy. Hashtag.
Oh
so classy.
My god.
So I was at work working on a campaign, and one of my cube mates sent me a link. It was like, stop what you're doing and look at Angela Bassett right now. Because I've made it very well known that, you know, my digi-evolved form of myself when I grow up is Angela Bassett. Angela Bassett, for some reason, like 15 years ago, stopped aging. I'm not exactly sure.
Because she's bathing in the blood of virgins.
But that can only help you for so long. But anyway, so she stopped aging and looks phenomenal. And she's wearing like this canary yellow fringe pantsuit. And has the most glorious half-fro hair just belling out behind her in all of her glory. It's like 2 feet of hair, and it just looked not a hair out of place. It's like she was kissed by the sun and then placed before people. And I was like, how do human beings even look like that?
I just don't know what magic. She's bathing in the blood of virgins, and she's also doing like a 20-step Korean skincare line.
Probably.
That's what
and,
she's doing.
You know, I need to know what line she's using so I too can mortgage or at least sell some plasma to get it. But like, she looks amazing, and I'm just looking at all these photos of the red carpet, and like Bozeman just regal, head to toe. Like, everybody walking down the red carpet, regal, head to fucking toe. The chick from Blackish and now Grownish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I can't remember what her name is right now. But, like, she looked fantastic. And I'm like, you're not even in the movie. You're just here to see the movie, but I respect you. Like, people are wearing kente cloth and, like,
I saw Michael B. Jordan, you know, hanging out with Donald Glover.
Right. And then Donald Glover. Let's talk about Donald Glover in his orange pimp Lamborghini suit. Can we he's just rolling up looking like a genius. Lambo.
Genius.
Okay, and I'm just like, yes, I'm here for all of that. Why are you not Spider-Man? But that's okay. Like,
Ninja, we know why he's not Spider-Man.
Truth. Okay, let's move along. But anyway, so the red carpet looks amazing, and I've been trying to, like, stay away from spoilers for the movies, but I've been seeing some really good reviews of it, and as I just keep talking with friends in the community about going to see this movie, the pre-sales of tickets are amazing. Like, it's so heartwarming for me as a kid who, you know, read Black Panther comics when I was younger. It is just so heartwarming to see, like, the whole world embrace this character that I've for a long time thought was awesome. You know,
and sexually attractive, I get it.
That were, like, less awesome. Yeah. Look, like, before, like, all the shit, like, blew up, Chala was married to Storm. Like, you want to talk about black royalty in comics and just, like, super couples?
I mean, not even just that. Because remember, Storm was kind of revered as, like, a god. So, like,
that's what I'm saying. She was a god. And he was married to her. And, like, it was great. Well, it was great. And then it was not so great. And then there was...
Hey,
they ended up hating each other. And then they got the marriage annulled. But, you know, shit happens. But until that...
Comets burn brightly until they don't.
Right? Then my heart goes, okay. Now remember, in your mind, Perfect Storm is Angela Bassett. And Angela Bassett is now playing Chala's mom. So,
like, you kind of get to live that moment in your mind, even though it's not officially movie canon.
So, like, I get, like, I'm close, but not
and,
like, exactly.
And
close.
they gave her white ass hair, too.
I know. And I'm just like, why couldn't you let her be Storm and not Halle Berry?
Halle Berry was more in at the time.
But you know what? Just because they're in doesn't make them right. Catwoman. I mean, okay, continuing
on. Hey.
Do we need to talk about Catwoman? Because we could talk about Catwoman.
Well, empowerment of women and taking back sexuality.
Bullshit is still bullshit. And Halle Berry was a bullshit Catwoman.
I agree. Anne Hathaway did a much better job.
If I have to pick between the two of them... But if you really want me to be honest, I like Michelle Pfeiffer.
Fucking kid.
But anyway,
I thought you were going back old school.
We're just, you know, yeah, because sometimes ain't no school but the old school. Getting back to Angela Bassett and her gloriousness. Like, I'm so excited for this movie to come out. I cannot wait to go see it. I don't even know how many times I'm going to see this movie in the theaters. I'm probably going to see it like 6 times in the theater, to be real. Because I've got to see it in 3D. I got to see it with the motion. I got to see it with the butt kicker. I got to see it in IMAX. I got to see it with IMAX with the butt kicker. Like, I got to get all the combinations.
You know what I want to do? This is what I want to do.
What you want
to
do?
When I go to see it in, like,
I'm dressing,
pretty,
by the way.
My pretty dress. Yeah, you showed me the outfit, and I kind of want to wear it. But, like, I ain't ready for that. I ain't ready for that, personally, myself. But that's fine. My dress is pretty. I will look cute, and I will come correct when I go see Black Panther.
Because you must come correct when you go see Black Panther. Do not dress Bobo to go see
Black Panther. Bobo was a no-no.
Mm-mm.
But anyway, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the biggest effing handbag that I got, because you know why? I'm making greens. I'm going to make some mac and cheese. I'm bringing my soul food plate to the IMAX. But go ahead, check my bag. Yeah, I've got hot sauce in there.
You know why I got hot sauce in here.
Yeah, you know why. I'll clean up my mess. This is for me. And don't even look at my Henny. That's coming in.
You can't take this from me right now.
It's like, you can have the cops waiting after the movie if you have to be all official and shit.
I will speak to the officer very politely, but right now, this is my moment.
That's right.
This is our moment.
And don't think I won't. Don't think I won't roll up, because I will.
I'm rolling up. I have my outfit, as you well know, already picked out. there's just going to be a lot of regal-looking motherfuckers showing up opening weekend to Black Panther.
I think on your Facebook you put a picture of Eddie Murphy from Coming to America.
Yes.
It's like when you go to the AMC and you're like, you know why I'm here?
Yes. Yes.
It's like, yep.
There's a photo where he's dressed up as Prince Hakim with all of his heavy gold and fur
and his furs on.
And it says, you know, AMC attendant, welcome to the AMC. How can I help you? What movie are you here to see today? And then it says me. You know why I'm here.
Well, like, and don't you know
why we're here?
They're doing Coming to America. We're getting another one, finally.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Eddie Murphy needed something to do. Hey, that's cool. All I'm saying is, it's about to be lit in a way that I don't think, at least in our lifetimes, we've experienced it. I feel like people are going to react to this movie like people reacted when The Color Purple came out.
I
like
kind
of remember the buzz and like how it was going around. Like everybody in our family was like, when this comes out, we're all going to see it. We were making plans as a family to go see it. It was an important milestone in the community for that book to become a movie. And then I feel the same way about Black Panther, is that, you know, when you look at the whole landscape of superhero movies that are being made, it is just so amazing to have coming out now as not a side character in a movie, but a full movie focused on Wakanda and this African nation in a positive way is just so great, for especially for the time right now to be dropping, okay? Like, it is the perfect, for the world that we're in today, Black History Month movie to pop out. And I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see it. I am dressing. I'm probably going to dress for every time I go see it in the theater. And I'm going to see it, like, a bunch of times in the theater. I already have friends who are, like, telling other friends to not bootleg the movie and to fucking go see it in the theater. And I love that because, you know, we need to support this movie because it's meaningful on so many levels. There's so many people represented. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Wakandan greeting is going to go around. It's going to be like the new high five. It's going to be big.
I haven't seen this.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a clip out and it's this moment. It's so cute with Chadwick Boseman. And I think it's Lupita Nyong'o, but it might be another character. We're like, they just did something successful. And so, like, they grab hands, and then after they do the hand grab, they cross both their fists over their chest. So it's, like, one motion, like, hand grab, and then boom, up to the chest, like, yeah, we just did that. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, everybody's going to come out of the theater, and that's going to be, like, the international Black people greeting now. Not the head nod. The head nod's over. Like, it's just going to be, like, we're just going to walk down the street, and just going to be, like, boom, bap. Like, and then you're going to keep going. Like, I'm calling it now.
Okay.
That's what I got.
I think we ended on the highest note that we could possibly end on right now.
Yeah. Until next week, we'll do it again.
Yep. We'll be building the hype train to the Black Panther. Woo woo.
Oh, we're going whoop woo.
I'm officially allowing the Coltrane woo to also come into play.
Oh, good, good. Because I do feel like that's appropriate.
It is appropriate for what is happening right now. So, I know I was really hating on Coltrane, but I feel like Coltrane would totally go and see this movie and support this. I did. I was drinking the haterade, but you know what? Mm-hmm. He a good dude. He my brother. He can come see Black Panther with me.
Yeah.
And we'll woo all night long. So, it's good.
It's appropriate. It's appropriate.
The veil has been lifted.
So excited. So, we're going to wrap up this episode here. If you enjoy our podcast, please let us know. You can hit us up on social. You can hit us up on Instagram at ESH News. You can hit us up on Twitter at ESH News as well. And also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Land of Esh. Tell us what you thought of the show, of the episode. If there's something that you want us to check out or review, give us the heads up. And if we do, we'll give you a shout out on the show when we do it. You can get our podcast in so many different places. It's kind of ridiculous. But it starts with iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast, Electric Sisterhood, and subscribing. You can also get our podcast directly on our website, electricsisterhood.com. We have some great news and reviews there on the site, as well as our archive of our podcast episodes and some editorial pieces from the entire team that makes up the Land of Esh. And also our event coverage. We will be doing PAX East, so keep your eyes open because March is going to be lit almost as much as February and almost as much as April. because I think KBG's doing Anime Boston as well. So we're going to have, like, all kinds of nerdy coverage for you over the next couple of months. So please make sure that you bookmark our site, electricsisterhood.com. You get a hold of the podcast. You check out our content. And if there's something that you really like, comment, like, share, subscribe. You know, all those wonderful things. We've got a YouTube channel, too. Like I said, we're still, like, figuring out if we're going to keep that, if we're going to go to Twitch. And so far, the feedback that you guys have given us has been Twitch. So we'll see what happens there. In the meantime, in between time, if you enjoy all of the stuff that we do on our site and through the podcast, then please make sure that you check out some of the other great content creators that are part of the Land of Esh. That starts with our homie KBD over at b3crew.com with his podcast, No Borders, No Race. Definitely check him out and get the podcast on iTunes. The website, again, b3crew.com. Also, our homie, Hamsterman2049, holding down live streams every Wednesday night. You can find them, the link for those, on our website. You can also find the link for those on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Land of Esh. He puts the link out usually about an hour or so before he goes live. But he's on Twitch live every Wednesday, twitch.tv/Hamsterman2049. And you can check out his site, smashedrook.com. Some great reviews on all different types of games from all different types of platforms. One of my favorite humans on the planet, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's recap and review. Definitely, definitely check out his recap shows. They are absolutely phenomenal. And he does live as well. And they're just really great roundtables. You will crack up the entire time. But you can call, be in chat, be part of the show live. And like I said, you can check out Phil's recap and review on YouTube. And you can also see these archives, as well as some of the stuff that he's written, on his site, issuesprogram.com. And last but certainly not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave. Anime, manga, video games, movies, comics, like you name it. If it's nerdy, they're talking about it over at nerdcrave.com. So please make sure that you check out all of our sites, bookmark us, follow us on social, engage with our content on different channels, pimp us out to your friends, help us no longer be the best kept secret on the internet so that I don't have to be salty ever again about my blackness and the recognition of it. So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, folks.
Titties.